Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a very posh evening. Hope you guys are all enjoying your Tuesday night. I guess there was no major holidays last weekend. We're kind of getting into the thick of summer. Anyone who's living in Southern California right now can attest to the fact that the heat has definitely come to stay this summer. And tonight was actually the end of Summer League, and since anyone who's been following the NBA offseason knows that, or any NBA offseasons, knows that late July is not the most exciting time to follow the NBA. You have a lot of sports support. I know Zach Lowe always jokes about planning all his vacations for the end of July. Everyone's just, or at least all sports reporters, are just praying to God Kawhi doesn't get traded in this month. But overall, not much happening. We just wrapped up Summer League. The Lakers just lost to the Portland Trail Blazers and in the Summer League Finals, so that was kind of lame. But the Lakers have been playing real well in the last two Summer Leagues, so as a Lakers fan, I've been pretty proud of their effort. So yeah, we're just going to talk about the minutiae of I don't know, late July NBA offseason. But before we go too far into it, I just want to start by saying, in terms of music, we're going to be hitting up some of my favorite songs from Quentin Tarantino movies. Any of you guys who've watched Quentin Tarantino movies before, you know, dialogue and soundtrack. These are two things in every Tarantino film that are always going to be just above par. Under par, above par, I don't know. But it's always going to be amazing. So I'm just going to start off with one quick Quentin Tarantino song, and then we'll get right into the show. So hope you enjoy. And that was Mirzlu by Starlight Unlimited. You probably heard or remember that from Pulp Fiction, which, man, what a great movie. Just every part of that movie was amazing. You have Bruce Willis and John Travolta both making like a semi-comeback. You have arguably, and I was actually talking with someone about this in terms of the dance scene between Mia Wallace, Uma Thurman, and John Travolta in that movie. And even though that's kind of his, I want to say like resurgence, that arguably is one of his best dance scenes of any movie that John Travolta has been in. Obviously, you have Grease, where he dances fantastically, Staying Alive, which I've never seen, but my favorite dance scene that he's ever been in is 100% from Staying Alive, when he just clears off a whole disco floor and just dances his heart out. It highly recommend watching it if you've never seen it before, but his dancing in Pulp Fiction is definitely one for the ages. And just everything about that movie. Samuel L. Jackson is in peak form. Tarantino obviously puts himself in every one of his movies. He's pretty good in that one. And I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who fixes everything. Can't remember it at the moment, but he's also pretty good. Anyways, we're doing kind of a Tarantino show. But the main focus of this show is going to be the NBA and the Los Angeles Lakers, as it usually is. So, not sure if everyone knows this, but usually NBA teams, by the start of the season or during the season, they're allowed to have 15 players under roster. And that counts two-way contracts of players that are both on the G League team and on the main team. But for the most part, you can have 15 players under contract. I believe 12 stay on the bench for every game and 3 are injury reserves. And with there being 5 position, and I know we're entering the age of positionless basketball, better teams have positionless players, just big wings that can play every position. But, I mean, I'm kind of the analytical play-it-by-the-book type of guy. So I usually, when I look at a team, I look for different skill sets. And I kind of like the idea of having a solid 3-man rotation for each position. Why 3-man? Usually you just play 2 at each position. Obviously things change around, but then you wanna make sure you have someone as a backup for injuries. So for example, Lonzo Ball, I think he only played like 64 games last year. So that's what, 84 minus or 82 minus 64, whatever. He missed a good amount of games. Wait, I'm definitely going to get this. 64, 74. Okay, 18 games. He missed 18 games. And you need a reserve for his backup, who then moves into the starting lineup. And last year, his backup was mainly Brandon Ingram. When Lonzo Ball was out, Brandon Ingram took the point guard. Alex Caruso was there, which is cool, but usually I like having 3 at each position. So I thought I'd read through the Lakers lineup as it stands right now. And right now the Lakers have 14 players under contract. So right now at point guard, it's Lonzo Ball, solid, Rajon Rondo, solid, Alex Caruso, solid. Alex Caruso, I gotta say, is one of my favorite players on the team. Just, I don't know, good defender, head on a swivel, and one of these like two-way players that he's half his time in G League, half his time in the NBA, and I always root for him. And one additional thing that I love about him is the fact that he is, I believe, like 24 years old, and he's balding. And as someone whose hair is thinning myself, he is like the balding man's hero right now on the Lakers. So him and Trae Young put them on the all NBA balding team. And I guess you can add LeBron on that too. But anywho, so point guard rotation, I'm super chill with. Shooting guard, we have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Lance Stephenson, and Josh Hart. Chill with that. The question will be who starts, because even though KCP is making $12 million, everyone kind of assumes he just got that deal because he has the same agent as LeBron James, and as soon as LeBron was signed, KCP was signed. So people kind of look at that as we didn't necessarily want him, per se, or maybe not at that price. But, I mean, if it gets you the king, you do anything you can. So shooting guard, I'm chill with. I also like Lance Stephenson more than other people, but even if you don't like him, Josh Hart might even take his minutes too, because he is killing it in the summer league. And we'll talk about the summer league later, but don't go crazy over Josh Hart like killing it in the summer league. Usually summer league, you're playing against other rookies, people in the G League. And Josh Hart was a rotation player on an NBA team last year. So, I mean, usually I don't get too excited if players do well in summer league, but I do get very worried if they do poorly in summer league. So I'm at least happy that he did well. But anyways, on to the small forward position. Now, the small forward position, technically the Lakers are 3 deep in that, but it's Brandon Ingram, Svi, who I'm going to try to say his name just because I got to practice it. Svi Sviatoslav Mikhailuk. And I'm going to talk about him in a little bit. And then as the third player is Luol Deng. And I got to say, when the Lakers signed Luol Deng to, I believe it was like 4 years, $64 million, or whatever ridiculous price he was, making him last year the highest paid player on the team, this year the second highest paid player on the team after LeBron, I didn't like the money that he got, but I do like Luol Deng. And a lot of people say he played under Tom Thibodeau, and Tom Thibodeau will destroy everyone's career because you look at Derrick Rose, you look at Ben Gordon, Luol Deng, Joakim Noah. There was a fourth one. Carlos Boozer. These are guys. Wait, was it Carlos Boozer? I think it was Carlos Boozer. But these are guys who played a majority of their careers under Tom Thibodeau, played like 40 minutes a game, and just they just lost their legs towards the end of their season or end of their careers. And Luol Deng played the most minutes of all those guys on those Bulls teams. So yeah, he did lose some legs, but I don't think he's a worthless player. I think he actually fits in real well in the modern NBA. He's a strong four. He's a small forward who can play the four. Strong guy, like anyone tries to back him down, he can hold his ground. And he's not an amazing three-point shooter, but he can stretch the floor. You have to respect his jump shot. And I don't know, like, it seems like the relationship with Luol Deng and the Lakers has just soured so much that even though he's under contract, we can't even play him. And it really makes no sense. Like, I understand, we overpaid him. C'est la vie, that happens. You can't even play him? You can't even make him, put him in the rotation? It's confusing, and I guess they got to do what they got to do, but I would love to see LeBron being the catalyst to a situation where the relationship between Luol Deng and the Los Angeles Lakers can be somewhat mended. Because if you have an asset that you're paying, like, and again, I usually go away from trying to make basketball players trying to use the word asset, so I apologize for that. But you have a player under contract who can play, and yet you just don't pay him. I don't know. It makes no sense. A power forward. So power forward center, I kind of mixed the two together because, I don't know, in these days, fours play fives. Fives are slowly moving out of the league. But we'll say big men. As our big men, we have LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, JaVale McGee, Ivica Zubac, and Mo Wagner. Power forward-wise, I think we're set. I think we're good. LeBron and Kuzma, get out of here. I love it. That's probably my favorite of the rotations that we have. Center, JaVale McGee can play against some guys. Ivica Zubac has shown some spice here and there. And Mo Wagner has shown some skill in Summer League, but, I mean, there's no starting center there. And whenever I talk to other people about the Lakers' lack of center, it's everyone saying, oh, you know, like, centers haven't played at all in the playoffs. The Warriors had four centers and didn't play any of them during the playoffs. And things are getting, like, conventional centers are moving out of the league. And I totally get it. I totally, totally, totally get it. In a seven-game series, you can play any center off the floor. But in an 82-game series, season, where just night in, night out, if you want to get rebounds, you have to bump, grind, move. You have to bruise. You have to be a bruiser. I played post in high school. I'm not gonna flatter myself. It wasn't varsity or anything. But even at the JV level, like, you have to be willing to not throw elbows, but you have to be willing to get elbowed. You have to be willing to have someone push you, grab you, move you away. And in an 82-game season in the NBA, you need a starting center. For the playoffs, doesn't matter. So I wouldn't overpay a starting center unless they were amazing. But you need someone in that 82-game series. Or I don't know why I keep saying series. But in an 82-game season, you need that guy who can play down low, who can be strong, who can get rebounds, who's down to night in, night out. Just that lunch pail type of, bruiser down low that is just willing to do it every single night for 82 games. Sure, they might not play in the playoffs. I actually think LeBron James will play a lot of center in the playoffs. But for the 82-game season, I want LeBron James not playing center because he has not – I'm trying to find some wood to scratch, but I can't find any. Wood to knock. There's some on the other table, but I don't think there's any around me. Anyways, I'll scratch my butt instead. But he has not had a major injury in his whole career, and this guy has been playing more minutes than anyone else in terms of the time he's been in the NBA. We gotta protect him. Like, yeah, put him in the post as a four, but I don't want him as the five every single night during a season. So I think that's where the biggest hole is on the Lakers for the Lakers is just the starting center. But and if you've been an avid listener of my show, which I mean I do not think many people are, but hey, who knows? If you are an avid listener of the show, you'll remember me saying that the Lakers really need shooting. I was pushing real hard for the Lakers to sign Wayne Ellington. I was really worried. And it wasn't just me. It was a lot of people saying, the Lakers don't have shooting. The Lakers don't have shooting. And the Lakers, I gotta say, they stayed patient. They didn't overpay a shooter. They knew they had some young bucks that could shoot the three. And lo and behold, Summer League kind of proved them right. You have Josh Hart, who was shooting almost 40% from three, 3.5 threes a game. That's 3.5 threes a game. And then you have Svi, Mikhailik, who's shooting 43% from three and averaging 3 3-pointers a game. Again, it's summer league. You can't put too much stock into it. But those are percentages I'm down with. And when you have Lonzo Ball, Rajon Rondo, and LeBron James all on one team, which, say what you want, those three are phenomenal passers. LeBron James, one of the greatest of all time. Rajon Rondo in his prime was one of the greatest of all time, still pretty good. And Lonzo Ball has the potential to be one of the best of all time. So you have three amazing passers as compared to, and I know I said I like Alex Caruso a lot, and Alex Caruso did a great job being the floor general for the team, but he is also the third string point guard. For the third string point guard, love him. But his passing ability isn't anywhere near Ball, Rondo, or LeBron's. So I think with them opening things up, it could be pretty spicy. And especially with Mikhailik, Svi. His first name is Svi. I'm just going to call him Svi from now on. But especially with Svi. This guy is 6'8". And I was talking to some of my friends earlier today. I have an NBA Slack channel. And someone asked me about Svi, what my thoughts were of Svi. And I say, I think my favorite line in the summer is, I don't put too much stock into summer league. But catch and shoot threes are something that from the college level, from the G League level, from summer league level, that's something that can transfer into the NBA. Because it's not necessarily the fact of, I'm going to out-dribble this guy. I'm going to use my acceleration against this guy. Because everyone in the NBA is physically superior to everyone in the G League. Okay, maybe not everyone. But 90% of the NBA is physically superior to 90% of the G League, if I'm being conservative. So you can't really judge it off of that stuff. But catch and shoot threes is, if you can get open and if you can get the ball and you release it while you're open, how well can you shoot? And Svi is showing it. And I know it was probably kind of in jest, but a lot of people are saying Svi's got a little bit of Klay Thompson in him in terms of the catch and shoot threes, the confidence in which he takes it, and the fact that he's 6'8". To have a 6'8 guy who is shooting 43% from three-point land, I love it. His wingspan isn't that great, so maybe his defense won't be too solid, but I've always been a fan. I always look at height first. One of my favorite things to look up is an NBA player's name and either contract or height. Those are probably contract, height, and age. Those are the three things I want to know for every single player that I either write about or talk about on my radio show. Those are the three things I look at. And with Svi, a 6'8 shooter, man, I love it. And if he can work out, that would be amazing. And one person I didn't bring up was Mo Wagner. And I gotta say, I really thought he was better from three, because I remember watching games and thinking, oh, this guy can shoot well from three. And it turns out he shot 22% from three. So not the greatest, but hey, if maybe he can get a little more confidence, I'm definitely down to give Mo a year, because he's a young guy. He shoots well for a big guy, which I love. But also, Ivica Zubac shot well in G League, and look what happened to him. And Mo and Zubac actually seem to have... Mo moves a little better, and I would say Zubac probably plays a little better defense. But overall, their games are very similar. And all I can remember, or not all I can remember, but I remember I went to Summer League 2 years ago with one of my really close friends, Sam Suzuki. And he's one of these guys who is a huge dork about the NBA, someone I can really bounce ideas off of. He knows a lot about the NBA, and I really do respect his opinion. And but he's also a huge Laker hater, so I love just messing with him whenever it comes to anything Lakers. Like, he's a Bucks fan, and I text him any podcast that talks about the Bucks. I just say, ooh, did you listen to this? Giannis to the Lakers happening. Anyways, I was watching Summer League 2 years ago with him, and Zubac just killed it in that Summer League. And I remember just calling him the White Shaq. The whole weekend, I called him White Shaq, White Shaq. And then look what it turned out. He has flashes. So with Mo Wagner, I'm not too excited about it. I'm willing to wait it out, but not too crazy about it. But okay, all that to say, I'm no longer worried about our 3-point situation. I think Lonzo Ball will improve as his confidence grows. Svi, it can be really special. And then from there, it's just hoping. Josh Hart also has been shooting pretty well. If Josh Hart can continue that, maybe he moves above Lance Stevenson in the rotation. Maybe he becomes a 3-point shooter. But I got to say, the person I have my eyes open for the most in terms of plays where you set a pick for someone to get an open three, I think Svi is going to be our best guy for that. So basically, what I'm looking for is that starting center. And if there's one thing that's been proven in the last two seasons, is free agent starting centers not having the greatest of times. But as we move on to that, I think in the next set, what we'll do is we'll look at all the free agents, and I'll show you just what I mean when I say there are a lot of centers to be had. But in the meantime, let's listen to a few more Quentin Tarantino tracks.
I was five and he was six. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down. Seasons came and changed the time. When I grew up, I called him mine. He would always laugh and say, remember when we used to play? Bang, bang, I shot you down. Bang, bang, you hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, I used to shoot you down. Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang. I don't know why, and till this day sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye, he didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang, He shot me down, bang, bang. I hit the ground, bang, bang. That awful sound, bang, bang. My baby shot me down.
Your kind. They never get tired of putting me down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find.
That was Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon by Urge Overkill. And any Tarantino fan will know that is a particularly psycho scene from the film Pulp Fiction. It's a scene where John Travolta's character, Vincent Vega. He takes his boss's wife out for dinner, you know, a good time. His boss says, hey, my wife is bored, take her out. And they have a lot of chemistry, they dance and all that stuff. So they go back to the Wallace estate, the home of the boss and his boss's wife that he just took out. And he excuses himself to the restroom, tries to collect himself, says, basically trying to convince himself not to hook up with his boss's wife. And during the scene where he's in the bathroom, Mia Wallace assumes that there's cocaine on the table, not knowing it's heroin. And snorts the heroin, which is a big no-no. If I've never done heroin before, but that movie taught me never to snort it. And because I guess it just almost kills you and you need an adrenaline shot to the heart to stay alive. Now, before that was Cat People by David Bowie, which is one of the more badass scenes of the movie Inglourious Basterds. There's this character named Shoshana, and she is a French woman of Jewish descent. And basically, the Nazis kill her entire family. And when she gets older, she owns a movie theater. And in that movie theater, a bunch of high-ranking Nazis are coming. And surprise guest, Adolf Hitler is coming as well. And so she's planning their murder, and basically this song is what's playing while she's planning out the murder. It's real badass. And then the song before that was Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down by the late Nancy Sinatra. She passed away a little bit ago. May she rest in peace, because I love this song. It is from Kill Bill. It is just such a perfect song for that movie, because It's basically about a man and a woman who loved each other. They fell out, and then he killed her, or he tried to kill her. And this, it's about her whole backstory on getting revenge. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a good allusion to these two little kids in the songs that used to fight and fake kill each other. Love that song. Anywho, I promised you guys I was going to talk some free agents, and let's talk a little bit of free agents. So, I'll be honest, I just looked up best free agents out there, and you will not believe how many centers there are. Let me just name the centers. I'm not even going to name, like, all the free agents. Let me just go centers. So we got Clint Capela, who is a restricted free agent. Montrezl Harrell, restricted free agent. And then the rest are unrestricted. You got Greg Monroe, Alex Len, David West, Trevor Booker, Lucas Nogueira, and Brandon Wright. All guys who can play solid minutes at center, and they're just sitting there, just thumbs in their butts, not knowing what to do. Like, nobody's signing them. It's unbelievable that, like, it's gotten to the point where it's so bad that even teams who need a starting center aren't even taking a chance. Like, they're offering the minimum to everyone. I gotta say, it is not a good time to be in, to be a big man in the NBA. And with the exception, with Clint Capela and Montrezl Harrell, these two guys, they're going to be on a roster. These guys are too good not to be on a roster. The only problem is restricted free agency. And we see this a lot, and especially when times are tight in this offseason, teams just will say, hey, go out and get a better deal. If not, we're going to offer you very little. And so with, like, Marcus Smart, for example, Marcus Smart is worth, in my opinion, at least 15 a year, at least $15 million a year. But for the Boston Celtics, why pay him anything more than eight, even eight? If nobody else is offering him a contract, he's a restricted free agent. And the problem with restricted free agency is the team has the right to match any deal you get from any other team. And it just causes these really toxic situations because it's in the team's best interest to wait it out because they want to pay as little as possible. But then you have a player who wants to stay with his team but then has to actively search for a new contract in order to push his team to match it. And it just causes a lot. Like, both sides have a point, but it's very, very toxic. And I think Clint Capela got, I think, like a 4-year, 70, 60-something million-dollar deal. And if I'm Clint Capela, honest to God, I'm snatching that up. I am looking at the situation. Nerlens Noel just signed for the minimum. This guy was a very hot commodity back in the day. DeAndre Jordan went for that 1-year deal. It is not a good time to be a big man. And if I'm a big man like Clint Capela, I'm getting the longest deal for as much money as I can get right now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm one of these guys who rather plays safe than sorry and doesn't want to take the risk. But for NBA big men, you have to look at the last few years and look at the trends. Bismack Biyombo getting $17 million, that ish isn't happening anymore. So, I mean, I hope they figure it out. But with the centers, I actually looked up all the teams' depth charts, and I looked at what teams could use a big man. And here's what I got. The Lakers, they really could use a starting center. Right now, JaVale McGee is slated to start, and I'm really hoping he's not the starter when push comes to shove. The Los Angeles Clippers, they have Marcin Gortat, who I guess is still a starting center, and they're in contract negotiations with Montrezl Harrell. But if I'm them, I'm looking for another center as well. The Memphis Grizzlies, they actually just did a trade with the Kings to trade away Deontay Davis, who wasn't even that good to begin with, let's be honest. And Brandon Wright is a free agent now. And then you have Marc Gasol starting as center. One of the best centers in the league, don't get me wrong, but he's getting older and he's starting to get a little more injury prone. They need a backup. Dallas basically has DeAndre Jordan starting and then Dwight Powell as the reserve. I see him as more of a power forward, but they'll probably put him as center. Who knows? And maybe Dirk plays some minutes as centers, but I think they could use a backup. The Golden State Warriors, they have Jordan Bell, who is a young guy, pretty good, and obviously DeMarcus Cousins, who they signed. But DeMarcus Cousins might not be playing until February. So, sure, they could give Jordan Bell the starting minutes, but like I said, it's one of these, center during the regular season is far more important than it is in the playoffs. So, although the Warriors have zero use for any center in the regular season, or in the playoffs, they need one for the regular season, so they could use a backup as well. And then the Heat have been looking to trade Hassan Whiteside, and if they do that, Kelly Olynyk may become their starting five, and they also have Bam Adebayo, but I'll give maybe the Heat need a center as well. Now, of the centers, I think my favorite, I mean, obviously, Clint Capella and Montrezl Harrell are restricted. We don't know what's going to happen there. But of the unrestricted free agents, I think my favorite is Alex Len. He can't shoot from that far distance. Offensively, in the playoffs, I don't see him playing at all. But during the regular season, he is a big body. He's young. He's not that injury prone. And he shows that he can get rebounds. Defense may not be amazing. Again, this is someone who we're not going to use for the playoffs. Just need a body for every single day, day in, day out, getting those rebounds, playing that tough D, taking those bruises. And I think Alex Len fits that mold pretty well. He's young, and I don't know. I always want to give young guys a chance because it's just a sad story to see them come in with so much hype and then have nothing come of it. So I'm hoping the Lakers sign him. Another person I like a lot is Trevor Booker. He's a guy who can add a little bit of range. He's not afraid to get down low and grab boards. He plays staunch defense. He's an older player, but he's like 30 years old, I want to say. And I don't know, I like him as a locker room presence. I like him as the day in, day out center presence. So I really hope we can get him. In terms, Jahlil Okafor, also unrestricted free agent. And the Lakers have been tied to Greg Monroe as well for a while. Maybe not this offseason, but in past offseasons. But I don't know, man. I'm kind of over Greg Monroe. He has a little bit of a jumper, but I don't know. I'd rather go with Alex Len, who's a little bit bigger, a little bit younger, and go off of that. I mean, if they sign Greg Monroe, sure, put him at the starting five. He'll be a pretty good fantasy contributor, but I'm not feeling that too much. The two players I'm looking forward to, or actually I should say three players I'm most interested in of the remaining free agents, are Marcus Smart, Rodney Hood, and Vince Carter. Marcus Smart, it is unbelievable that this guy does not have a big contract offer. And I believe the Kings have, after the trade they just did, have $20 million left. They need to offer that to Marcus Smart. He is not the greatest offensive player, and he can play a little bit of hero ball sometime, which I'm not a huge fan of, but especially if you can't shoot that well. But damn, can this guy play defense. This guy, you can throw him on any one and a lot of twos, and he can lock him down. He is someone who is a part of a winning culture, even though it's from a poopy team like the Celtics. He is someone who plays hard defense. And I'm talking like Tony Allen level defense. Okay, maybe I spoke a little too rash when I said $20 million to Marcus Smart. He deserves like a $12 million deal, though. Like, this guy is really, really good. And a lot of teams could use defensive guards. Then on to my second guy, Rodney Hood. This guy lost a lot of stock. He did a huge no-no, which is when a coach calls your number, no matter what is going on, you get in the game and you fight for your team. And in the playoffs, when it was garbage time, Tyronn Lue with the Cavs tried to put him in, and he was just like, nah, I'm good. And boy, did things go downhill from there. Rodney Hood at Utah was pretty good. He is a long, I want to say like 6'8 guy, solid shooter, solid defender. And when I say solid defender, not an amazing defender, but pretty good defender. But legitimately solid three-point shooter. And I'm shocked that no one's giving him a chance. Like, everyone's clamoring for wings. And it really goes to show you that you go against your coach and you don't show up when your number is called, and it really puts a sour taste in people's mouths. And I think, honestly, if he had stayed on Utah, he would have gotten a deal right off the bat. But after this Cavs series, when he gets called up and he doesn't go in the game, you're seeing nobody. I don't even see rumors for who wants to sign Rodney Hood. I like Rodney Hood, or I should say I liked Rodney Hood. I wouldn't be that excited if the Lakers signed him, but if the Lakers signed him, I'd say, meh, not a bad signing. But I'd rather use our last spot on a center. And my last player, Vince Carter. Vince Carter is not... He's 40 years old, man. He is, I believe, the oldest player in the NBA right now. And for me, I really respect the fact that he was a superstar who, as he aged into the league, became a role player. He figured out his skill set. I'm going to be a three-point shooting old guy who can run to the rim and make fans excited. And he fully accepted that. And you look at other players. You look at Carmelo Anthony, who has been linked to the Rockets. Maybe we could talk about that later if we have time. Not sure if we will. But you look at Carmelo Anthony. This guy is not a starting caliber player anymore. Maybe on some teams, yeah. But he's not a starting caliber player on a playoff/championship contender. He would be great on the bench, but he just refuses to accept that role. Kobe Bryant, same thing. Kobe could have played another year if he decided to go on a bench role. But some of these guys just don't want to take a bench role. And you can't necessarily blame them, because that sort of alpha mentality is what gets you to the NBA. And it's really hard to let that go when that has been the number one factor to your success. But Vince Carter, he took it in stride, man. And he's playing well into his 40s, making good money. And I think for me, it's not necessarily the fact of I think he has a lot to contribute anymore. It's just the fact that I would like him to retire on his own accord. So maybe he goes back to Toronto, man. I would love for him to go back to the Raptors 1 year, $1 million, 1.4, whatever the veteran minimum is. It might be $2 million now. But a one-year deal, go back to Toronto, make the fans excited, and then retire. I think he deserves to retire on his own terms at this point. So these are the main free agents. Basically, the thesis, the conclusion statement of that whole set was being a free agent center, especially this year, sucks because there are just so many of them out there, and being a restricted free agent sucks. And until we get away from the crazy summer of 2016, when people were just throwing giant contracts because of the cap spike, where people like Timofey Mozgov and Bismack Biyombo were getting huge deals, until those deals are all done and teams kind of have more flexibility with their deal with the cap that they have, it is going to be a hard time to be a center. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for these young guys, these young big men. Because a lot of times when you're 7'1", people say, hey, play basketball, and you go into life with that mindset, and now people are saying 7'1 players can't survive in the league anymore, unless you're Kevin Durant or whatever. But, yeah, so good luck to those guys. I'm going to play my final set of Quentin Tarantino songs, but before I do, just want to say you're listening to KXSC Los Angeles. You can listen to us online at kxsc.org. On the airwaves at 1560 AM, and on your smartphone with the TuneIn Radio app. And we are a service of the University of Southern California.
Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am. make some sense of it all. But I can see it makes no sense at all. Is it cool to go to sleep on the floor? Cause I don't think that I can take anymore. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
That song always makes me want to do the dance that they do in the... So, sorry, that was You Never Can Tell by Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry probably best known for the song Johnny B. Goode, but You Never Can Tell, also made very famous by the Pulp Fiction scene. That was the dance scene that I was talking about. That was the song that they danced to. And it's kind of this... Not saying I can dance like John Travolta, which obviously I cannot, But it's that little like shimmy that you kind of like sliding your feet back and forth. Every time I hear that song, I have to do that. And then before that was Stuck in the Middle with You. And oftentimes I try to think, because usually when people ask who my favorite directors are, I say Quentin Tarantino and the Coen brothers. And both are greatly known for their soundtracks, so maybe that's why I like them. But anywho, when I'm asked what my favorite Tarantino movie is, I'm always, although I love all of them, I'm always inclined to lean towards Reservoir Dogs. I freaking love Reservoir Dogs. I think it is a perfect movie through and through. But the song I played before that, Stuck in the Middle with You by the Steelers Wheel, that is probably the most iconic soundtrack to scene I think I've ever seen. It's this song, one of the robbers. So basically it's this movie about a bank heist gone wrong, or diamond heist, about a heist gone wrong. And so they all meet at the meet point where if anything goes wrong, meet here. And one of the crazier characters catches a cop, and he's basically torturing this cop to this song. This song's on the radio and he's torturing the cop. And there's a part where he cuts off the cop's ear and he talks into the ear. Like, hello, can you hear me? And that scene was actually totally improvised by the actor, which is pretty amazing and pretty sadistic at the same time. But yeah, just crazy stuff. Unfortunately, I was going to talk about it, some stuff before leaving, but don't seem to have too much time. But just as a wrap up, Jabari Parker to the Bulls, 2-year, $20 million. Again, high number, but the second year is a team option. And if you're the Bulls, why not? Collect young assets, see what's good. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Nemanja Bjelica was going to sign with the 76ers and then decided to go to Europe instead. And the Kings did a deal to relieve some of their cap. They traded Garrett Temple for Ben McLemore, Deontay Davis, and a second rounder. And I just feel so bad for Ben McLemore. He is drafted by the Kings, who they tell him, oh, you're going to be our number one shooting guard. They end up drafting more shooting guards after McLemore, then trading for Buddy Hield, not playing McLemore at all. McLemore goes to sign with... They don't offer him an offer when he's a restricted free agent. He goes and signs with the Grizzlies, and then he's traded back to Sacramento. And you can just... A lot of people said, a lot of headlines read, that it was just a sad trade for him. And you just can't help but feel bad for the young guy. But that's the end of my show. I'm going to pass it off. I believe the next DJ, Alana, she's running a little late. So I'm going to have my homie, the robot, play music for you guys for a little bit. But I am Pasha Zulfikari. I'm an Iranian-American, and people like me deserve a place in this country. Have a great night, everyone.